Let's get started. We were discussing Tevilat Kelim last time. We finished off Klei Se'uda, and now it is really time to move on to what acquisitions, right? In this community, Great Neck, acquisitions is a big deal. Chachan Eliyasi for sure knows all about acquisitions, right? So acquisitions that can render
hard to find sellers.
Oh, look, the buyers there are plenty. Yeah? You always have buyers? And okay. When it comes to Kelim, oftentimes the Goy is the seller and the Jew is the buyer. But it's not always a purchase. There's an array of kinyanim, not in the literal sense, but in the transactional sense, of transactions that can occur, that can, a kli can originate in the possession of a Goy and find itself in the possession of a Jew. And the Jew finds himself asking, am I allowed to use this keli without tevila, or does it now require tevila keli? You're like, what am I talking about? Whenever you buy a keli, you have to take it to the mikveh, right? Okay, good. What if you borrow, rent, collateral, steal? What's the halakha on all of those cases? Now, we have to go back to the Gemara. The Gemara told us in one line, where do we learn the kelim of tevila kelim from? From the milchama with Midian. Klei Midian. And Klei Midian were one at war. There was a total removal of their ownership and transfer to Jewish ownership. Klei Midian. The Gemara says, therefore, the halachic parameters that prescribe Tevilat Kelim for a Kli is Likuchin, purchased from a Goy, and following a similar pattern to the prototypical narrative of Klei Midian in the Torah. That means, yeah. They conquered them, right. Well, right, no payment there also, right? So when Chazal were koveya the dinim, they said, you're not going to go and kill Mr. Walmart and buy the kli. You're going to buy it from him. And there's going to be tumah of the goy on it. It'll be chayav and tvila. But also, it has to be like Maaseh Midian, in a different way. In Achinam, if you conquer, let's say you go conquer Gaza today, Chalei Israel, go and conquer Gaza. Do they have to be matbil the kelim? There's actually a Ramban on this pasuk in the parasha of Midian that discusses why was it that Hakadosh Baruch Hu, of all the milchamotim in the Midbar, Hakadosh Baruch Hu decided to wait until this one, which is not the first milchama where they conquered and took spoils, to tell us about the mitzvah of Hagalat kelim and Tevilat kelim. What happened until now? Nothing changed. So the Ramban has a lengthy idea about this.
So you're saying that so it's a proof to that if we would conquer, let's say, then you would have to.
So we're getting along those lines. Yes, the Ramban has an idea about this, which is a little bit cryptic, and the Achronim have a field day trying to understand this Ramban. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a whole teshuvah explaining this Ramban and how Chalei Yisrael would be allowed to eat nevelot u'treifot. It's milchamet mitzvah. But they might have to do tevilah. I don't know all the parameters, but it's a discussion. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu also once got a sheila from chayalim who were undercover somewhere or about to conquer something. I think they were at war. There was milchamet yom kippur and mashu kazeh, and they were going to go conquer a town. And they said, "Are we allowed to eat non-kosher food?" And he said, "Yes, mutar." But they decided to be
Rav
Mordechai Eliyahu. Right. Maybe. I don't know at the moment, but maybe. But he said you could, and in the end they were machliran themselves, and they won the war without it. They won the war without it. So it wasn't Yom Kippur then, it was something else. I forgot what it was. So either way, the idea is purchased and Maaseh Midian. If those are the two parameters, we're going to see, can we change that purchase parameter to other transactions? Which transactions follow that? The regular pattern of a purchase, and which ones don't. So two parts to tonight's shiur, maybe a third. What are the transactions that prescribe tevilat kelim? And part two, why did you purchase it? We spoke so much about clay seuda. But if you buy a pair of scissors to cut paper, it's not clay seuda. So, at what point is the intention going to matter? When you buy it, when you decide to use it, when you sell it to the next guy, you rent it to the next guy, what are the parameters going to be for when tevilah is required in terms of the intent that goes into the transaction?
What about the dude that is a goy employee that will manufacture something? Like you give a goy a sheet of silver, it's a flat, it's like a perfect sheet of silver,
right.
And say, hammer this into a bowl for me.
Right.
And you pay him for his work, but he doesn't own the silver.
Right.
He doesn't own it, so how
do we... No, but the Jews own it. But it's the goy that turns that sheet of silver into something that's a clay.
Right. Yeah, you know, the people think, why should we learn Baba Kama? Do you own an ox? Do you own a boar? You guys will never have his ox falling into your boar, so why should I learn Baba Kama? Right? The Gemara Baba Kama has a concept called Uman Kone Bishvach Kli. An Uman, an artisan, a craftsman, makes a kinyan, he acquires the improvement that's made in a Kli that he's working on. You give him the sheet of silver, it's worth $10. Pure silver. $10 of pure silver. And he works on it, he makes a clean, beautiful, golden, silver goblet. Now it's worth $20. That extra $10 of appreciation belongs to the goy. And when you pay him for his services, you're basically paying him to buy off that extra $10 that he put into it. That's called Uman Kone Vishvach Kli. All fantastic questions. We're going to discuss Uman Kone Bishvach Kli next Shi'ur. Bezat Hashem. It's a machloket if we hold that way. So don't jump and do that. But it's a fantastic question. It's a very important point. And it could have real ramifications. Let's say you have a repairman come. And he's going to fix something. Now he has a kinyan in your stuff. You have to go take it to the mikveh now. Nowadays,
he fixes the motherboard of your oven. You have to take that rat back.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. We'll discuss Uman Kone Bishvach Kli Bezat Hashem next week. Now, on our, if we can finish this week's stuff. Now, but on to our topic. Let's go through a few other options. What are other transactions that you can make in addition, other than purchasing something?
Can rent.
Good.
Trade.
Can trade. Borrow. Okay.
Steal it.
Anything else? We spoke about this one the very first shiur. Very first shiur, we spoke about Deoraita versus Derabanan. This was the example, this was the proof that we gave to litmus test to see if, depending on what you say by this, you know Deoraita versus Derabanan. Mashkon, by a collateral. So let's go through that. A collateral. The goy borrows money from you and gives you a collateral. Let's go through that. Number one, rentals. The Rashba says, Schirut, renting something, is the same thing as borrowing, as purchasing it. Or. No.
Other way.
Borrowing it is patur, because borrowing it is not chayav. And rental is the same thing as borrowing it. Therefore, if you rent dishes from a goy, they're kosher dishes, they're certified, you don't have to do tzvilah, because you don't own it. It still belongs to the goy. You're allowed to use it, because it belongs to the goy, not to you. And you don't have to do tzvilah.
That's who says
the Rashba. Maran passings like this Rashba in Saif, I think, Chet. I'm sorry I haven't given you guys Maran Mikamot. It's been a bad habit of mine to be lazy and not make Maran Mikamot. Maran says, HaShoel, O Socher Kli Mehagoy, this is in Kufchaf, Saif Chet, Eino Ta'un Tevila. You don't have to do Tevila when you borrow from a goy or you rent from a goy. What about if you steal from a goy, or if you have a collateral from a goy? Those things get a little bit more complicated. Because the Gemara...
Stealing and collateral are the same thing?
No. Not the same thing. I just said them both together. But stealing is more open and shut. You might think it's similar to the war, when you steal from a goy. And that's like Ma'aseh Midyan. And yet there is a little bit of a Machloket Rishonim here. And halacha l'maaseh, we would say, if you steal a kli from a goy, it does not need to be tevilat kelim. There are those who say it does. Zivchei Tzedek says that it does. But Hora Berura and others say you would not require it.
How many opinions say that you are? It's like, if the goy saw it, could you say it's yours? It's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to ask you?
So you might have been koneed though when you stole it from the goy. And now that you're koneed from the goy, you never declared half good. It doesn't matter sometimes though. That's also Gemara Bava Kama. You can be koneed something through theft even without. The guy can stream all he wants. If, let's say, his stuff is swimming down the river and he's never going to get it back, and you go and you pick it out of the river, whether he wants to or not, the Shamayim declared it hefker.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, like,
if he knows about it.
He owes you money and you steal his
stuff. So, okay.
Like, he owes you money and you steal his Rolex.
Right.
Enochinami. I'm
going to do the business for your story. I hear. I guess that could be a question, but we'll leave the theft shayla on the side because I don't think it happens that often that we steal kelim from goyim. When you get something by accident from Amazon is a different question, but we can
Amazon tells you to keep it. So.
Amazon tells you to keep it, and if they sent it to you by accident, then they also can't take it back according to U.S. law. So it doesn't matter.
Bring out free AirPods.
Rosh Hashem. Okay, hopefully it didn't come from a Jew. Hopefully it came from a guy. Okay. If it came from a Jew, it's Hashavah Avida. Okay. Anyway, now on to collateral. Yeah.
So if a Jew rents Airbnb and they say that they can use all the utensils inside.
Mm-hmm. Mutar? Mutarim Lachem. You go to a hotel and you rent a room. There's glass cups. Mutarim Lachem. You can use it whatever you want. It's all fine.
Would there be a chashash like used by a non kosher?
So that's a different shayla. Let's say it's all glass and
does
it's all clean.
Who owns the hotel?
Yes, if it's owned by a Jew with no partners, then you're messed up.
But what if they're partners?
Then it's okay.
Yeah.
That's one second. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah B'Dvaro. Rav David Cohen says how one time there was a catering thing going on in Chicago, 1,500 guests, 1,800 guests, I don't know, friends of the IDF, some major thing like that, and they realize as they're getting ready to do the job, the mashgichim, they meet the owner of the hotel in the lobby, and he's like, or something like that, and he's like, "Hey, I'm Jewish too." Excuse me? Yeah, I love you guys. I love Israel. I love whatever it is. I'm happy to host this event. It's great. Wait a minute. We never took any of the kelim to the mikveh. It's two nights before the event. 1,800 people coming. How are we going to do this? So they had a meeting with him. I mean, got to know him, schmooze with him, talk him up.
His mother wasn't Jewish.
And find out that he has non-Jewish partners.
Oh, okay.
So then good. Good. So there's a machloket.
They can't do the whole thing with shtarot, no?
Huh?
They can't do the whole thing with shtarot?
Shtarot? Who says shtar is deoraita?
Oh, come on,
Rabbi. Who says shtar is deoraita?
How are you going to transfer 1,500 plates?
I got five ways for you. Inshallah, we'll get there. I got five ways for you. You know how we sell chametz for Pesach? You don't use just a shtar. You use five other ways in addition to a shtar to sell chametz for Pesach. Because maybe shtar doesn't work by a koi. Or maybe shtar is not the right to buy a koi. You can't violate chametz on Pesach.
Why do we use
shtar? We try every base, because every one has a problem. So we do everything in order to...
We always have a problem in any gate.
We try our best to do every... No, because if you do it... If there's six opinions here, each one holds the other ones have problems, but his works. So according to all the opinions, you're fine. Because you covered all of your bases, every possibility you did. We'll get there, with Hashem. After we do the socher, whatever, it'll be at the end of that. Mizrach Hashem, that'll be like our bridge into disposables, because it's part of the same idea. How do you sell to a goy? And how do you buy from a goy? To make sure that it's not his, when he's manufacturing for you. So, okay, good. Collateral. The Gemara says that Mor bar Rav Ashay said, my father Rav Ashay used to get a collateral from a goy. Once upon a time he got a collateral from a goy. And my father took it to the mikveh because he wasn't sure, or I wasn't sure, I forgot, if he did it because he was afraid the goy was going to abandon it anyway. In which case, once it's abandoned, it's my father's collateral and then he has to take it to the mikveh. Or when you have something that is a mashkon, it is as if you purchased it. In which case, it would require tevilah. Right? So, since we're not really so sure what was his reasoning, We might say, Safek. The Gemara doesn't give an answer what the reason was. So we said, this is the test. If you hold Tevilat Kelim is Deoraita, what are you going to say here? Safek Deoraita the Chumrah. And if you hold it as Derabanan, what are you going to say? Mutar, Safek Derabanan the Kula. We saw every Rishon basically says, Chayav, Bitvila. And the Rambam is the one who says Patur, because maybe the Rambam holds Derabanan. That's what we said by Mashkon. Halakha l'maaseh, as I said in the seven shiurim ago, in the very first shiur, Shulchan Aruch holds in Seif Tet, if you have a mashkon from a goy, and you know he's going to abandon it 100%, take it to the mikveh. If you don't know that he's going to abandon it, take it to the mikveh without a beracha. Or, go get another keli that you vadai will require tevilah for, and do it together so you can recite a beracha on both at the same time. That was what he said in Shulchan Aruch. And there are a few details here just to elaborate on before we move on. When it comes to a mashkon, when the guy vada intends to abandon it, we said, Maran says, chayav itvila. But what if he's vada coming back? What if he's definitely going to come back for this? This is his heirloom from his father, his grandfather, whatever it is, until going all the way back to when they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. He's really into this heirloom. He's coming back for it. But he needs money, so he gave it to you. Is that also a safek? Or no? He's coming back. I can use it as much as I want. And I don't have to take it to the mikveh. The Shach thought, this case, when he's vadai coming back, mutarim lachem, mutarim lachem. Use it as much as you like, and it's okay. But is that really pshat? How can you assume that they're for sure going to come back? Okay. Good. You're one step away. Go a little bit further. Go a little bit further. Talk, not just reality, talk halacha. What was the Gemara saying? The Gemara said what about mashkon? What was the takeaway about mashkon? Gemara said mashkon is a safek. It doesn't matter if he's coming back or not. Excuse me. It matters if he's not coming back. But it doesn't matter if he is coming back. If he's not coming back, it's yours. But if he is coming back, the Gemara didn't say that it's going to be okay. That's the whole nature of a collateral. When someone leaves something with you, he intends to come back. He hopes.
Yeah.
And he's taking a risk.
But what if the date passed and he owes that, like, let's say, usually that's how it is.
100%.
The date passed and it's...
That's it. I'm sorry.
And you take the mikveh without bracha.
Bidyuk. Oh no! Once the day passes, take it with the beracha.
With beracha, if he doesn't abandon, if it's like before, then you take it
without a beracha.
Yeah.
And then once he's for sure done with it, it's also another machloket if you have to take it at all,
go again?
Or go again without a beracha. That's another machloket. What he would say in that situation? The pri chadash is really the name on the bill here. He says the shach is wrong. This is how mashkon works. And he's going to leave it behind and done. And then when he's one, he leaves it behind for sure. So good, take it with the beracha. And in the meantime, you can take it without a beracha. And then
why would you do it beforehand? You know what I'm saying? Like if it's not up to the date that he owes, right? You shouldn't you just wait until the date that he owes. If it doesn't come after that, then you just take it to mikveh.
You could do that, but if I say you want to use it.
Oh, for your own
usages, yeah. So that's a big question. Are you allowed to use a mashkon? There's a discussion here about maybe it's onat divarim, if you take it as a mashkon and then you use it. But maybe onat divarim is a mutar by a goy. And then all the achronim are like, excuse me, the Bach makes this argument. Now everyone's like, what are you talking about? That's how the mashkon works. It's mutar. In our communities, the minhag is that everybody uses a mashkon. So of course it's fine. That was where they were. That's how it worked. Okay. Maybe you have to go by Dina de Malchuta on this one. Minaga Makom. They thought it's not a problem to use a mashkon. Halachically.
So someone gives me their watch, over there, I could wear the watch the whole time.
If it's a mashkon, If it's a mashkon, yeah. Unless you make a tanai otherwise. Tanai shiva mamon kayam. Whatever tanaim you make when it comes to monetary things, you stipulate it's okay. But it would be okay according to Halacha, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. The thing is, it was a safek before.
Yeah.
So now it continues to be a new safek. Maybe your earlier tevila worked, and maybe it didn't. So you should do it again without a beracha. Yeah, I think so. I think there are those who say you shouldn't, but I think the maskana is you should without a beracha. Yeah. So the thing, the issue is, it's just the reverse safek. Before, the safek was maybe it needs, maybe it doesn't, so I'll do tzvila. Now the safek is maybe it needed, maybe it didn't need. For sure now it would need, but the question is, it depends on before. And because you did it before, so
did
then...
It when it did, when it doesn't need, doesn't do anything?
Ah. It would seem so. It would seem so.
I can't go to like a... oh...
Blow shofar the day before Rosh Hashanah, you would say. A ger goes to the mikveh before he... Huh?
How is that the same thing?
A ger goes to the mikveh before he gets his brit milah. Does it count?
It's even
kind of like... Okay. Over there. You could have said yes. You could have said yes, but we assume not. We assume not. The ger goes to the mikveh before his tevilah. It's not the Ramban and the Rashban, Yivamot. We assume... We assume not. But,
it's not like yours yet.
Correct, yeah, it's not yours. It's not chayav yet. Even if it is yours. That's what we're about to get to. Let's say you buy something as close as a scissor. Let's say you have a store. You bought these things to sell them. It's not chayav in tila right now. Can you take everything in your store to the mikveh before you put it on the shelf so that whenever a Jew comes and buys it, it's already been to the mikveh already? Or not? Well, if it wasn't chayav yet, it wasn't clay seal, that one is sitting on your shelf. Because you bought it to make money.
The Jew owns it and he's selling it to someone that will consider it.
But he doesn't own it as clay seal, that. He owns it as clay skora, as we'll see in a few minutes.
He's selling it as when he bought it, it doesn't matter. But what he's claiming to be when it sells it is what he's determining what it is. No?
No, he's asking a good question. He's asking a question. The thing is, when you, Miss Janet's collection, bought that plate from Alessi,
right.
She bought it for monetary purposes, to make money, not to use for food. Just like when you buy scissors to cut paper, you're not buying it for food. So when you buy merchandise, that's also not food. So in that case, it's not chayav in tevila. The question is, when you sell it to the next person who will use it as place to da, would the tevila you do now, before he buys it, count?
So technically, according to that opinion, a Jew can make a super
shatnez
and sell it with
shatnez.
It's not a super money. It's not a garment to him. It's just a pile of fabric.
Shatnez.
According to that, that's the same logic.
Well, is shatnez asur b'hana'ah? I don't want to go the wrong path.
No, I would assume that it's asur to do that.
Why?
But because you're putting a Jew in a situation where they could stumble.
Because you're selling him something that hasn't had tevilah yet.
Right.
You're saying it might be a lifnei iver problem if you don't do that.
Right. If you're considering merchandise just a monetarial item, then it's one aspect that it doesn't make a difference what you're selling.
Right.
You're selling something that's asur and it's
right, right, right.
But if you're selling something that the end product is what you're selling, when you're selling it, something like look at this beautiful whatever. It's not like you're saying look at this beautiful.
Take it to the mikveh.
Item number something, and then it's going to be this in my bank account. That's why you sell things.
Right. Right.
So I would just. But assume that,
yeah.
Why can't the Jew do that?
Well, if it's not currently being used, even though the end product is that it's going to be used that way, if it's not currently being used as clay suda, then it's not clay suda right now. Just because you have a pair of scissors you use to cut paper, and you continue cutting the paper with it, you don't have to do tzvila with it. When you decide that you're going to use it for food,
that's questionable. You can
right.
use it for pudding, but let's say the guy sells plates.
Right. Same
thing.
Same thing.
He can't technically dip it in advance.
So we'll discuss it. We'll discuss it. There's a machloket about it. But he brought up, Chacham Kohani brought up, how what if you took it during the mashkon safek period to the mikveh? Worst case scenario, it's not chayav right now. What happens if you take a kli that's not chayav in tzvila to the mikveh? So I said an analogous shayla, is the store, the merchandise. We'll have to discuss that, and we'll have an answer to your question.
Isn't the whole point that it could carry tumah?
Yeah.
Right? So taking to the mikveh
would... Would or would not?
It would take care of that, no?
You're saying, I got rid of the tumah no matter... When the Chachamim told me, when you buy it, take it to the mikveh to get rid of the tumah. But before you buy it, if you want to take it to the mikveh also, it also removes the tumah. The thing is, it still belongs to the goy. Right? If it still belongs to a goy, can you really remove the tumah? It's tovel v'sheretz v'yado.
Yeah.
Which makes it different from this case now. Because in this case, if it's a Jewish-owned store, it's a different case now, yeah?
He's carrying the tumah. It's not
chayav. It's not chayav, yeah. It's like sort of like in between.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So we just distinguished. It's a very good ichud. Good. I made a suggestion. You knocked it down. Beautiful. You also knocked it down. But a different way. But yeah. What do you want to say, Arya? You good? Okay, fine. So let's move. We have to finish off the transaction history. Transaction history. When it comes to a mashkon, let's say when the guy gives you the mashkon, the collateral to hold on to, and he decides that if you want to keep it, just pay me 10 extra bucks and you can keep it. Is that a purchase or not?
Of course.
You think of course. Okay, anybody disagree? Rabbi Ton? Emotion. Okay, it was downstairs, yeah. So this is the machloker. The Isur v'heter and the Shach are of the opinion that if the guy has to pay extra for the mashkon, he is chayav b'tfilah. But the Pichadar says, mashkon is a mashkon, it's still a mashkon, patur. Or safek, whatever. Whatever the din is, it's patur. Fine. Good. That's basically our discussion. Oh, and by the way, glass, since mashkon is a discussion of a safek, and we know that only metals are chayav min haTorah and tevilah kelim. Glass is only midrabanan. So glass, safek derabanan lekula, everyone will tell you that glass is patur. Sounds good? Okay, does that make sense? Glass is patur, because it's already derabanan, and it's a safek on the mashkon, so safek derabanan lekula.
No.
Yeah? No, you disagree?
No.
It's okay, you can disagree.
The
Pri Chadash, the Zichei Tzedek disagree. The Pri Chadash said it's Safek Derabana the Kula, and the Zichei Tzedek says no. The Gemara had a Safek anyway.
Oh, it's saying, what you were first saying was, it's Safek. Since glass is Safek, and it's
glass,
Safek.
Glass is Derabanan.
Derabanan, and
Mashkon is a Safek.
So it's Safek.
Derabanan the Kula. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Once it's already Rabbanan, one Safek can knock it down. Whereas if it was Minat Torah, you need two Sfekot to knock it down. Yeah. Good. So there's a machloket here. Whether or not glass is patur when it comes to Mashkon, Pri Chadash says, Safek Rabbanan Lekula, what's the problem? The Zivchei Tzedek says, Chacham Abdallah Somech, still thinks you should be Machmir. But Rav Avadia says, Halacha L'maaseh Patur. Now, we're going to start intended purposes. What's the intention that goes behind your transaction? And when that can make a difference and when it does not? To either require or dismiss the requirements for it to be Tevilat Kelim. We're not going to finish it all tonight. We're going to try our best to get through. Please always feel free to ask questions, because there's a lot of halakha l'maaseh. Even if you're not actively involved in talking to a goy about these things, there are applications that can extend out. Fine. You are purchasing kelim, non-clay seuda purposes. You bought a pot to step on as a stool. You bought scissors, shears to cut paper. Whatever, a fork to use as a pitchfork in the mob, right? Whatever the non-Suda related things are going to be, you bought it for that reason. You purchased it for that reason. Are you chayav? Is it chayav etzvila? No. Everybody agrees. Good. What happens if you're in a pinch? you don't have any more serving forks available, and your wife's like, I need a fork to serve this turkey. You're like, one second, I got a pitchfork in the closet. And you go and you grab the pitchfork only for tonight, because it's Thanksgiving. And only tonight. You're going to use the pitchfork. After tonight, you'll go back to the mob and everything, and it's just for tonight.
It's not Tamil event.
That time, if you're a client, it's us through anyway. Good. The mobs are peaceful. Peaceful for us.
Peaceful.
With the pitchfork, they're peaceful.
What do you mean, same thing with the scissors?
Same thing as the scissors, yeah. So is it chayav or patur? Chacham Kohanim, what are you passing? Patur. Okay, good. You passing patur. Good. Any other thoughts? You what? You know this halakha already. Oh.
Disposables.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Because if someone gets you only like the number of times, then it's considered like it's not considered.
Let's say it's not disposable. Oh. If Moshe says if your cup is gonna break after a number of uses, it's not a kli already.
Like a aluminum sheet
plant. Yeah, same thing. Yeah, this cup Rav Moshe Feinstein says don't use for kiddush because it's not a kli, because it's not gonna last a wash in the dishwasher. It's not gonna. It'll fall apart before you get through five uses of it. But here, the pitchfork works. It's a kli. It's 100% a kli. The question is kli suda, or is it not kli suda?
You have to use it, like, three times for a kli?
No, I decide. When I bought a knife to cut food with. I bought a knife to cut food. I'm chayav. I don't have to wait until three times. So my intention was kli suda. So at what point do we say it changes? I just did a one-time thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing. The pencil is not really clay suda, but I decided to use it as clay suda. I need to mix my tea, so I'm going to take my, I don't know, my metal pen. Probably a very bad idea, and I'm going to use it to stir my tea. Mutar rasur. It's clay suda. This tea is edible. Mutar rasur. Ice pick would need to be led, yeah.
And I usually ice pick to use to, like, jab other things.
Like keep
in my tool.
So if you use it to jab ice, then you're to eat, then it's patur.
It's just called an ice pick.
So then, no, yeah.
But let's say you want to.
That's a good point. Like, an ice pick, you don't use it for ice. You use it for, like, other things.
Okay,
fine.
So that was my mistake. Good. So we said klei suda, that means it touches the food, at least after it's edible, it could be brought to the table, right? But I'm bringing this my turkey to the table with my pitchfork.
So
you're saying klei suda, so chayav.
Yeah.
Okay, what did you say again?
It's
oh, okay, fine. So yeah, I did mention it at one point. This is the machloket. The Or Zarua says, sorry, the Hagot Maimoniot says, sorry, the Pri Chadash says that you go by Rov Tashmisho. Rov of the time? Patur. Pri Chadash. Rov Tashmisho. Literally writes it all over the page. Rov Tashmisho. You go by Rov. Rov is that you don't use it for anything else but non-clay suda purposes. One time, two times, 10 times. Doesn't matter. According to the Pri Chadash, it's your Rov Tashmisho. According to the Pri Chadash, it's your Rov Tashmisho. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh was the Bar Plukta of the Pri Chadash. He wrote Pri Tohar, and he said exactly what you said. That when you buy a fork, it's a Kli Seuda. It was made to be Kli Seuda. You want to tell me that you're going to be Mivatel this from Kli Seuda? Excuse me, this is Kli Seuda. You can't change it. It's Chayav Bitvila. But let's say I have a non-clay suda. It's never been meant to be used as a clay suda. I don't know. I use my mouse. I don't know, whatever it is. And I do some avoda. I want to push something with my mouse.
You
use that as a plate. Okay, you want to use that as a plate. Probably made of like aluminum. But okay, aluminum. There we go. But either way. So that's a nice challah word. If you left your MacBook on the table, you can't move it. It's basis l'davar. It's a davar asur. Yeah. And the table now basis l'davar asur. And you don't have a challah plate. So you just use that as your challah plate directly on the MacBook. Asur mutar. According to the Pri Chadash, Rosh Hashisho mutar. Even according to the Pri Torah, who says that it depends on what it's made for originally, mutar. Because Rov Tashbisho. Come all the Ashkenazim and say, the Isur v'heter of Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi, we spoke about the first time also, second time. Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi and Isur v'heter, quoted by the Ramah, says, no. Whenever it is, even Derech Arai, even if it is going to be, Rabbi, one time, want to go to Burger King? Asur. Doesn't matter. Sparadim, mutar. But for Isur v'heter and Ashkenazim, asur. That said, that's electric. It's going to break if you put it in the water. So you have more to rely on to use the laptop as the challah board. Just in case it ever happens, you don't have to worry about it. The Zivkei Tzedek, Chacham Abdullah Sumeh, went through all of Hilchot Tevilat Kelim, and whenever there was a machloket, he basically said, Tov Lahachmir. So he says the same thing here. Tov Lahachmir, take it to the mikveh. But you don't have to follow that. Chacham Avadia says, Rov Tashvisho, the Gamre. Rav Tashbisho. You should also know for Ashkenazim, Aruch HaShulchan rereads this a little bit. He thinks, what does it mean, Derech Arai? These are scissors used for cutting paper. My wife needs to cut the chicken. But like you said, basically the same thing as the Pritor, they're not made for food. No one ever made it that way for food. If that's what it is, then it's okay to even use that. Bimikre. Even Arai. But if it's made for food, or if it's on Shabbat, because Shabbat Kovat, not topic for now, then you would require Tevilah before you use it. So basically, the Aruch HaShulchan makes the Ramah into the Pri Torah. That if it was made for food, requires Tevilah, even if you try to use it for other things first and arrive for this. Good. It's quoted by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I don't remember if he really pushes it like halakha l'maaseh or not, but it's definitely a tzad for Ashkenazim to be making. I want to go one more step. What happens if you lent your scissors to somebody else and he wants to borrow it as clay seudah? He wants to borrow it to use it as clay seudah. He wants to cut his chicken every week with these scissors for the next 5 weeks, every day, whatever it is. Hagol Maimoniot says, did this guy make a kinyan? Which kinyan, which transaction did he choose? He borrowed it. What has the halacha when you borrow something? You're patur. Hagol Maimoniot says, therefore, even though you took it for clay suda, ho'il v'sha'ul biyado, you borrowed it? Patur. And to this, we'll have to end with this point, Ezad Hashem, Yisur v'heter, again argues, no, you, the owner, could have changed your mind in a second of what the reason was for this place suda or not. And therefore, the guy who borrows it from you is chayav without a beracha. Because you could have made it into clay suda yourself by deciding to use this for suda. Yisur v'heter says, and the guy who borrows it from you should do tevilah with the beracha. And the Shach and the Taz say, yeah, but leave the beracha out. We're not so sure about it. And even then, when you borrow it, you should do tevilah and then tell the guy that you did tevilah. And now is the machloket. We'll have to stop here though. Now is the machloket. What are you telling him? You did tevilah, right? So when he gets it back from you, what does he have to do when he wants to use it as clay suda? Nothing? Or a tevilah without a beracha? We'll have to... It gets into your idea of...
If my friend borrows the keli for suda purposes, I use it for non-suda purposes.
Right.
He holds it.
Does it count when you want to use it as clay suda? Same question. Can you, a pre... And he's owned by a Jew, this is similar to the story with the store. How does that work? Because actually we'll have to pause here. It's 9:45. And Sorry, it's not 944. But I also could still hear the mechir. So I figured, okay, anyway. But we'll continue with this topic, Bezat Hashem. We have to discuss merchandise, tevila in the store. What happens if you lend out your merchandise? Do they have to do tevila on that merchandise? And then the big question on everybody's mind is the caterers. Do caterers need hotels, restaurants, kiosks? They need to do tevila on their kelim or not? Big machloket. Big time machloket. Tear the world apart over this machloket. Yes, Hashem. Chazak baruch. Thank you very much. Amen. Amen. Yes, Hashem. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for coming. Big zechut for me to be able to share the words of Torah. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Chacham Kohanim, Ashrecha for the notes. Kol hakavod to you. Kol hakavod to you. Baruch Hashem. No, you're doing great things. I'm glad you're able to benefit from the shiur and remember and access the information. It's great. Kol hakavod. And I'm glad I looked up the Suvi thing today. The Suvi things.
I
didn't even think. I also didn't think about it, but it makes a lot of sense.
It's not,
and the water is not for Suda either, so the pot is a machloket, whether it's Klei Suda or not, whether even though it's not Klei Suda, it should require tefillah. The pot is not touching the food, the water.
Does the Suvi come with one of those?
Not even the water. Watching some videos online, it's really cool. Yeah, how it works.
I'm so old school, Rabbi. All my friends and everyone I know is like, sous vide, sous vide. I've been cooking with charcoal since I still enjoy lighting fire.
Wow. As I was driving here from the Heights, I passed the truck that said sold specialty cooking wood.
Oh, yeah?
And I was like, I'm sure there's some people who get a kick out of this. Now I know.
I saw my
Yeah.
My name
for Artie? I went upstairs for Artie, yeah. No?
I don't think that.